This is Kevin Harlan, and tomorrow, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. First, Bam Adebayo and the Heat take on Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Then, Steph Curry and the Warriors square off against Wemby and the Spurs. If you're not a Prime member, just sign up for a free 30-day trial. Heat Knicks, Warriors Spurs. Coverage starts tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Du bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders. Ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On the big show today, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's coming up in just a minute.
This is Kevin Harlan, and tomorrow, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. It all tips off with Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat taking on Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks in an East Coast rivalry. Then, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors go toe-to-toe with Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. It all comes your way on Prime. And if you're not a Prime member, that's not a problem. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. The Heat and Knicks, the Warriors and Spurs. Coverage starts tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Bob and Tom Show.
I'm at a Stony bike.
Oh, hi, Donnie.
Hi, Dr. Wolf.
Wolf. Hey, Dr. Wolf.
Yeah. Hey, is it true in outer space you can see your own farts? Or
yeah, Donnie.
Sam, I ought to try that on Mythbusters. Hey, is Peyton still in there?
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, Manning.
Donnie, how you doing, buddy?
I don't know if you remember me or not. The last time you was in Jacksonville, I kind of confronted you in a parking lot. You were too stuck up to sign my Harbaugh jersey.
Stuck up!
I'm sure you remember. Were those your cops or the NFL?
One from each. One from each.
Yeah. I was so mad. I took the car flag off my boat for 2 months. But then, yeah. A year later, you won me over, and I got to give it to you. When you went on SportsCenter and called your old kicker a dick, right to his face.
That's right.
Yeah. We partied for 2 years after that. Is it true you get free Gatorade for doing them commercials? What's Jeter's really like, anyway? Is he really that good, or did his dad play, too?
No, good guy.
Hey, when my mom Phyllis says, you ever come into Xanadu's, it's all free. I'm not Pager. We'll party with you.
Wow. All right, man. That's great. Wow. Thanks, Donnie.
See you, Donnie.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should get back to the space.
There's that dignity you wanted back.
Yeah.
If you missed something yesterday, maybe you'll hear it now. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Is this Neil deGrasse Tyson? There he is. I recognize that face. Were you a wrestler in high school?
Yeah, and in college, I was captain of my high school's wrestling team and undefeated. And then I got to college. And then I started wrestling like corn-fed wrestlers from Iowa.
Or Missouri.
That was a whole other so I had a losing record in college, but I was undefeated in high school. That's the difference between local and national sports.
I see. We're good friends with the comedian Greg Warren, who has been working with Bargatze, and he was a really good wrestler.
One of the Cornfred boys from Missouri.
And his special's coming out soon. Neil deGrasse Tyson has...
I'm even wearing a wrestling...
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling.
That's great. I didn't see that. I
happen to have it on this morning.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I was doing some research, and I saw those pictures. That's cool. You went to Bronx Science High, right?
Yeah, the Bronx High School of Science, yeah.
Okay, yeah, right, yeah. I knew a bunch of guys that had gone there. I, of course, didn't because a total lack of skill in that area. The new the new book, it's the reissue. It's Merlin's, and it's called tour of the universe, and it's once again prepped for the 21st century. Can you tell us what you had to do to rework it?
Yeah. So that was my very first book, written 35 years ago while I was in graduate school, and resurrecting it, bringing it into the 21st century. I reminded myself how much of my educational, as an educator, how many tap roots were set into motion in the writing of that book. There's a delight. By the way, Merlin is a character created for the question and answer format of that book. And Merlin, in fact, is an alien visiting from Andromeda, mm-hmm. who has seen all of Earth history, all of Earth scientific and cultural history. So when you ask Merlin about the universe, Merlin recalls a conversation with some major historical figure, because Merlin knew them all. And that was just a fun sort of tool to bring the universe down to Earth for whoever had the interest for it.
Do you have any interest in going to space?
Yeah, so I have a different definition of space, as would be true for all of my colleagues, my astrophysics colleagues. Many people don't realize that the space station, for example, which is anybody's common definition of being in space, if Earth were shrunk to the size of a schoolroom globe, mm-hmm. then the space station is orbiting 1 centimeter above the surface.
Yeah.
And so I can't think of that as space. Send me somewhere. Moon, Mars, asteroids, beyond. But I don't want to just boldly go where hundreds have gone before.
The billionaires who pay to go up in the one where they're in space for like 6 minutes, that seems to me to be a real ripoff.
That's not even as high as the 1 centimeter. So the billionaire boys race, the Bezos Branson, that you're right. That's what's called suborbital. They go up and then just fall back for 5-6 minutes. And it's the falling part where you're weightless. So that's fun. And you're sort of above the important parts of the atmosphere. So that's fun. Stars will come out in broad daylight because you can't see stars in the daytime because of the scattered blue light from the sun that turns the sky blue. You get above that limit. So that's fun. I have no issues with that. But on this same scale with the schoolroom globe, they go up about the thickness of 2 dimes.
Yeah, wow. And it's costing them several more dimes than that.
Remember that guy, that crazy guy, Felix Baumgartner, remember him?
Sure, yeah.
Who did that edge
hot
of space
air balloon
jump
thing? Yeah.
Uh-huh. For Red Bull?
Sure.
Okay, how high was he? He was the thickness of 1 dime above Earth's surface. And NASA is complicit in this. We have a very low bar definition of what it means to go into space.
Wow.
But
sorry, I have higher goals than that.
Can we get to Mars, though, feasibly? Is that really a realistic thing?
Well, so let me just make it clear. Oh, by the way, of the billionaire boys space race,
right.
Elon Musk is the only one who actually puts people in orbit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he's the full 1 centimeter up, and that's why mm-hmm. he can intersect with the space station if he chooses. Unlike the 1950s, where people said, will we ever get to the moon? Do we know how? Is it even possible? That's not the kinds of questions anyone is invoking today about Mars. The questions are not, is it possible? Of course it's possible. We have an SUV-sized rover that took a helicopter to Mars, exploring Mars right now. Getting to Mars, that's not the issue. So the issue is, what's the motivation? And who's going to write the check? That's all it comes down to. It's not any more complicated than that.
So you can survive that trip to Mars. A human being can.
Well, it's 9 months. Yeah, just get a good Netflix account, you know, library.
Maybe listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's got a couple of podcasts out there.
Thank you. Yes. I have a podcast that'll keep you going.
There you go. Our guest is
Star Talk Podcast. While you look out the window, you can think of the universe. Thanks for that plug.
Do you like to be called Dr. deGrasse Tyson or Professor?
Oh, so in a first introduction, just Neil deGrasse Tyson, and after that, just Neil.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If you start heaping titles and pedigree, then as an educator, what I don't like is it comes with the implicit assumption that you should pay attention to what I say because of that title. When I think you should pay attention to what I say Because I'm freaking making sense to you.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's
that should be enough reason.
Yeah.
So yeah. I never like being surrounded by pedigree. Yeah. I think it's a charade. Not a charade. What's the right word there? It's an attempt to boost the value of what you say without actually investing in the meaning and importance of what you say.
Kind of an eminence front, as Roger Daltrey would sing, or Pete Townsend in The Who.
Our galaxy finite, or is this an? I have a real problem with grasping infinity, and since a kid, like even when I was a kid, I was very interested in space and the galaxies and reading about them, but it's very hard to think it just goes on and on and on for billions and billions and billions of years.
Yeah, so I agree. At my first sort of existential crisis about infinity mm-hmm. occurred when I was 5 years old. And I'm old enough because I remember the Kennedy assassination, the John Kennedy assassination. And when they buried him in
Arlington.
Arlington National Cemetery, and they had this lamp there, this flame, mm-hmm. and they called it the eternal flame. And I said, eternal? What? It's going to, like, forever? Like, doesn't it take fuel? Don't you have to put, I had this, it's like, what does that even mean? And so that was my first encounter with sort of infinity. So our galaxy, just to get the term straight, is the collection of stars called the Milky Way. We are one of several hundred billion stars. That has an edge. Its gravity reaches forever, but that where the stars are, that has an edge. And then there are other galaxies, and then other galaxies. There may be a trillion of them in the observable universe. The universe has a horizon beyond which we cannot see, but that doesn't mean the universe doesn't continue beyond that. Any more than a ship at sea that sees its horizon. Are they saying to themselves, that's the edge of the ocean? I'm in the center of my own. No, they know that if you sail a little bit, there's more ocean that shows up. So our horizon occurs because the speed of light is finite. It's not infinite. And the universe is not infinitely old. So galaxies at our horizon, their light is only now just reaching us, given the history of the universe. So that's how we get a horizon. So, but yeah, the universe itself might be infinite, and just like deal with it.
There we go. That's the answer. Neil deGrasse Tyson is our guest, and
my priest that
Neil deGrasse Tyson is going on tour. The tour can do. Can you tell us a little bit about what are the live tour stops like? I know you've got a bunch of them in places where people can hear us right now.
Yeah. So the tour slightly misrepresents it, because usually if it, quote, an artist goes on tour, they got something to sell you. And that's the whole point of the tour. My relationship with cities is a little different from that. What happens is I get invited to the theater. Typically, there's a Grand Dam theater that's been renovated, beautiful theaters, Fox theaters, Paramount theaters, this mm-hmm. kind, the kind where we all used to, well, old timers would go to see movies, right? That's right. Where a curtain would open up. Those theaters have been in most cities renovated, and they're beautiful to perform in. I send the host a list of a dozen or 15 talks that I could give, and then they pick one. And then I deliver that talk on that location. So talk titles include A Cosmic Perspective. One of my favorites is An Astrophysicist Goes to the Movies, where I show a bunch of movie clips and just rail on them for the science they got right or wrong, you know, especially wrong. And it's not just sci-fi. I have two movie talks. One of them, I talk about The Wizard of Oz, how that Scarecrow gets the Pythagorean theorem wrong when he recites math after the wizard gives him a brain or gives him a diploma. So they're just fun little places
that's
attempted to reach, but then has not. So yeah. So if you ever see my name in a city, check what the topic is, because I'm not there to, even though I might have a book that you could buy, that's not the point of the talk.
Oh, these sound great. One of my questions was going to be about movies. If you were, for example, in the NFL, I'd say, what is the best movie about the NFL? Since you're not, well, let's go with the best or your favorite movie about space and all the things that you've been studying your whole life?
Yeah, I would say, let me say the most accurate one is, I think, without question, The Martian. Andy Weir was an engineer, the author of the story, engineer turned novelist. And he actually gave me one of the highest compliments I've ever had. I had him on my podcast, by the way, my Star Talk podcast. He said, Neil, when I was writing this book, because the whole story is deeply infused with science, so much so that science, you can think of it almost as a character in the storytelling, because the main protagonist is left for dead on Mars. Mm-hmm. And then they find out he's actually alive. And so he has to stay alive for all the days that it takes for them to come back and rescue him. So he has to be very ingenious about how to not die. And that's where the science comes from. Andy Weir told me that while he was writing the novel, he imagined I was looking over his shoulder. He didn't want anything showing up in a tweet, you know, about the I take that as a high compliment.
Oh, that's great. With respect to a sort of sci-fi space travel, do you have one accuracy versus favorite?
Yeah, thank you for splitting that difference, because that would be the most accurate. I would say Armageddon, even though it violates more laws of physics per minute. I would say Armageddon is just sheer joy. It's just, it's there's good comedy, there's good action, good special effects. And I think go for it.
Okay.
Armageddon.
I've got a story for you real quick. We've had Dr. David Wolf, the astronaut, in here a lot. And I'll never forget the story he tells. He goes, you don't know what quiet is till you've been in the mirror and the power goes out and you can hear your blood circulating.
Mm.
That's
okay, so
scary.
You can duplicate that. When I was a kid, when I was in college, I spent a summer at Bell Laboratories back when they were a big powerhouse. And they have what's called an anechoic chamber.
Right.
There. Which is a huge room with these big foam absorbers on the ceiling, on all the walls, and on the floor. Because you're not walking on the floor, you're walking on a mesh that is suspended between all of these walls. And there is no echo anywhere. And so you're in there, and all of a sudden, you start hearing blood pulsing through your ear canal, and you start to sense your heartbeat. And if someone else walks in, you practically have to scream to them, even if they're only 10 feet away. So maybe it's not as perfect an environment as space, but it's as close as you can get. If you ever have a chance to go into an anechoic chamber, look those up.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
And then before we let you go, I'll remind everybody of the book, once again, one of many by Neil deGrasse Tyson. And you've got your podcast. Where do people find the podcast?
Oh, Star Talk Podcast. Yes, Spotify. It's also on Apple Podcasts.
And you work with a comedian.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes. So my co-host, just the podcast is, we take people from the world. They could be famous actors, politicians. It doesn't matter who. And we explore what science may have affected their lives in whatever storytelling they engaged in for a movie they were in, or whatever, but what songs they might have composed. We interviewed Katy Perry, and I had to ask her, she's got a song about, like, boning an alien, I think. That's what you're talking about. Your ray, you know, vibrate me with your ray gun. It's like,
wow.
Okay. So, but anyhow, I have my co-host is a professional comedian, Chuck Nice. And so it's pop culture, comedy, and science woven together into one package. And that's what distinguishes that podcast.
Great. Oh, it's so great talking to you. I've been listening to you on various podcasts, et cetera, for years. And you certainly put a nice spin on my ability to learn anything. And I have visited the Hayden Planetarium. I was just there a couple of years ago. Went to a couple of Broadway shows, and then went to the Planetarium, which is awesome. Of course.
Well, one other quick note about a movie. Interstellar came out 10 years ago. It's being re-released to theaters December this year, 2024. So that one is chock full of science, especially since the executive producer is a professor of theoretical physics at Caltech. So you know they're going to get it right. And so that's just sheer a bath in scientific, in Einstein relativity and other kinds of science enlightenment.
Did you see the article a couple of weeks ago, speaking of Einstein's relativity, about the monkeys and how they now is that some group of scientists said, no, an infinite number of monkeys could not type all of the Shakespeare plays. That had to be.
No, I missed that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I don't believe that. I have to check on that.
Google.
Infinite number of monkeys for an infinite amount of time. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they can type Shakespeare.
I don't know. It made the New York Times. I'm not sure what it means.
Okay,
I
guess if it's an infinite number of monkeys for a day, no.
Okay. But there's an argument to be made. Real quick, one last question. 2001. Amazing, I thought, how so much of the stuff in that, you consider what year Kubrick made that. Really amazing.
Yeah, so that movie, 1968, and imagining a future, before we landed on the moon, reminder, imagining a future in the year 2001. Now, so there's a whole space station up there with space shuttles docking with them. So it was a fantastical view, especially in the day. It was opening the door to possibilities in everyone's imagination of what we could be doing in space. Now, of course, sci-fi know that you want to rotate a space station so that you have artificially created gravity on the perimeter. So that way you don't have muscle loss or bone loss and all the rest of that. But then the movie got like really weird at the end.
Yeah.
And I found out that Stanley Kubrick, since nobody really understood the movie, then I heard what he said about it. He said, the movie's not intended to be understood. It's intended to be experienced. I said, okay, he got that. We'll give it to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means. Apparently, marijuana got very popular about 68. Neil deGrasse Tyson, what a great pleasure, sir. Thank you, sir.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe. Orangen, Klasse 1, je 2 Kilo Netz nur 2,79 Euro. Oder Philadelphia Frischkäse, je 195 Gramm für nur 1,19 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.